You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for the first day of a new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And with me this evening is Nick Kunzer from Sandham Private Wealth. Nick, I suppose uninspiring on the local front, a little bit better on the overseas markets, but yeah, people just sort of easing into their new week, I sense, on this the shortest day in the Southern Hemisphere and the longest day in the Northern Hemisphere. Maybe that's got something to do with it.
Yeah, Lindsay, good evening. Or maybe it does. Maybe it's something in the stars, although, as you said, the middle of the summer solstice and people can't go to Stonehenge tonight and social distancing and all of the above anyway. Put that all into the pot and the end result is a day that was very uninspiring. We had such a cracking sort of Wednesday, Thursday last week. We had a little bit of interest dying off on Friday, and then once again this morning, I think the tone was set. Out of Asia this morning, everything was very much unchanged. Mm-hmm. Although I will say a little bit of a choppy session in the US, but here in South Africa, it was very, very uneventful.
Yes, indeed. A few notable exceptions to that. And the first one, which is something we spoke about on the opening this morning, was Omnia. And the Omnia price was around about 12-13% higher at 9:30 this morning when we were nattering away. And at one stage, it was close to 30% up. And I think it's closing around about 22% higher after a trading statement. Not bad stuff.
Not bad stuff. And as you said, one of those like really interesting South African success stories who exported their patent on a particular type of explosives that they use, very correlated to the mining industry. And a decent trading update, it really was. As I said, we don't actively follow it in a group as in Sunderland. I must sort of flag that up. But we have a few clients that are exposed to like the story. And quite frankly, I quite like the story. And as I said, you'd almost expect the bounce to be bigger in the last couple of weeks. It's lagged the market a little bit. Certainly, as we've seen the sort of bounce back in mining shares and the like, and maybe it's getting a little bit of a comeuppance today because a really nice finish up 22.9% on the day.
Very good indeed. On the other hand, on the downside, we have Telkom. Telkom Limited, their annual results came out for the year ended 31st of March. Another company that's dismissing the very idea of a dividend, but not just for this particular period under review, but for 3 years, down 7.25%. Yeah, it had a nice run, I must admit, with the rest of the market, but suddenly that run has come to a shuddering halt.
A shuddering halt. And as we're literally speaking at the moment, I see something coming across the wires now. South African mobile operator Cell C saying it plans to lay off 960 workers, semi-skilled staff, etc. And I think that telco space in South Africa is getting quite crowded. And I think we mentioned last week Orange indicating out of Europe, but they're also looking at coming into that space. And you've got to think the likes of telco with so much to, crowded space and data, a real price war. I don't know if they've got the sort of balance sheet to stick it out. And they're certainly not at the forefront of sort of brand awareness either. So I think they've got some real challenges.
City Lodge has got some real challenges as well. And I was speaking to David Shapiro in a previous interview today, and we were moaning on like a couple of grumpy old men about business travel. There's not going to be that business travel anymore. And he used the idea, have a listen to the interview, he used the idea, or rather the example, that he used to go down a few times a year to go and see a client of his on the west coast of the Western Cape. And you'd go there and have a cup of tea and then discuss the portfolio and then get back on the plane in the evening or stay overnight and get the plane in the morning, and they would stay at the City Lodge and everything was good. But now we just do it via Zoom or via some other medium. And does that mean the City Lodge's business is now finished, because that's what it was, a business traveler's hotel?
Yeah, it's a different one. I actually had a little bit of WhatsApp banter with them last week. I had a few clients who were looking at it. I had the whole story about how, we were trying to figure out how many of these properties that City Lodge owns, because for all intents and purposes, it's quite a well-run business. It's good management, well-respected. We're just trying to figure out how much release and how much of the properties they own. We're trying to work out what the book value was. Unfortunately, you get a story like us today where they need to raise 1.2 billion to keep it going effectively. And the market cap is 1.3. So they're effectively raising its market cap just to keep the lights on. And then you start to realize I guess how what an uphill challenge companies like this have, and I'll listen to your podcast later with David, because you know this is business. City Lodge, you don't go there to stay on holiday. You go there on business. It's a direct barometer of business in SA. And with the effectively the country still in a verge of a sort of lockdown, it's difficult to see how these guys are going to get out of it. It's a really difficult story, and I almost feel sorry for them. But it's going to take a while, really.
Yeah, and it'll be very interesting to see what the rights offer yields, actually, if people are going to step back or say, well, this is the opportunity of a lifetime or something. But anyway, when you get people like David Shapiro, who likes to get on a plane, he likes to travel, he likes to sit next to somebody on a plane and talk nonsense for the whole flight and chew the other guy's ear off, and he likes to go to a hotel and be around people. So for him to say, I don't know if I'm going to do that again, I'll go down there once a year rather than 3 times a year, then it just tells you, it just shows you that people's habits have changed even over the last 3 to 4 months.
They have changed. And that, I think, is what a lot of, I guess, money managers and the like are grappling with, is that you've seen this quite a significant bounce back in some of these particular shares that have been hit hard by the sort of pandemic. So travel shares, you saw cruise liners, you saw a lot of airline companies bounce back significantly. And in fact, Saudi Arabian Wealth Fund taking a big stake in Carnival Cruises, just a case in point. But there is that lingering sort of question in the back of certain investors, and myself included, where I'm thinking, you know, how long is it going to take for people's habits to go back, if they will go back in any shape or form, and how quick is it going to happen? Because I think it's going to take a long time. And I think we've seen exactly what's happening in the retail market, Lindsay, with the likes of people's shopping habits. More and more people realize you can do it online. I guess, you know, look at something like a City Lodge or the travel. It's going to take a long time for those habits if they do go back to where they were.
Yeah, and they're going to have to reinvent themselves. They're going to have to use the space for something. Maybe they'll have to refurbish. Maybe they're going to use the money not just to keep the lights on, but also to put some new lights in, metaphorically speaking. In other words, refurbish them, make them more tourism friendly, make them more leisure orientated. I don't know, but they've got to do something, because there's no way that, I don't know, I'm not getting on a plane for quite a while.
Well, things are changing. Let me tell you a story. We just got through on my inbox from the Sunlum Group, a little diagram of what's happening on the top floor. Those who know the business in Alice Lane, the sixth story is massively a beautiful art, private art collection. I think we're one of the largest art collections in South Africa. Mm. And that's a ginormous gallery, and it's quite fun to go up there. Just got a note through that they're changing that gallery, and it's now going to be visual studios the entire top floor, where no more auditoriums, no more, I guess, taking your clients to potter around the art gallery. It's now going to be visual with green screens and studios. And, you know, I mean, they're now adapting that way of doing business. I mean, it's moving very quickly, and I don't think we're going to go back to the other way.
I can remember going to Sanlam's office in the northern suburbs of Cape Town. Where is it? Not Belleville. It's somewhere.
No, there's one in Belleville and there's one in Target Valley as well.
Yeah. Anyway, it was the main one where the CEO sat, and I can't remember his name. What's the one that is now with Patrice Motsepe? What was his name? CEO.
Yes. Yeah, he's with the African Rainbow Capital.
That's right, yeah. I can't remember his name. Can you?
Before my time, unfortunately.
What do you mean before your time? What are you talking about? You're not a spring chicken. You just can't remember it. Don't give me that excuse. But anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at – I'm waiting for him. He's on the call or something. I had a meeting about sponsorship or whatever. And I looked to my left, and on the wall to my left was an Irma Stern. And I thought, that must be a fake. It must be a copy or something. And I spoke to him. I can't remember his name, as we said. And he said, no, it's the real thing. And I looked it up, and I think even at the time it was worth something like 2.6 million. That was a long time ago. So it must have doubled since then. But yeah, you seem to be art collectors, you Sanlam kids.
It's actually. I used to think that the team from Nando's and that family had sort of accumulated the largest sort of South African art collection. But it turns out it's actually not. It's actually Sanlam of the last sort of 100-odd years. A fascinating collection of private art. And There's a lovely story about someone who was verging on retirement, being sort of a Sanlam lifer. And they said, what can we give you as your sort of going away present? And there was a little bronze cheetah, I believe, in one of the boardrooms. And he said, I kind of like that. You know, I'm sure there's a possibility to take it. They said, yeah, no, I'm sure it'll be fine. And then they sort of went onto the inventory and looked it up, and it was worth like 10 million rand or something. Oh, and they sort of politely emailed back and said, no, we'll give you some vouchers for our sentences instead. Sorry.
It really was a boring day on the JSC today, wasn't it? We're talking about art. Let's have a look now at the spot prices if we can. Oh, just tell me, were there any other stock exchange news service stories? Growthpoint came out with something. We've spoken about City Lodge. I don't think much else.
No, there wasn't. As I said, City Lodge, what else we got here? Telkom we've spoken about. Glencore, obviously, off the back of that late Friday night, the investigation by the Swiss into their affairs, that's down 6.5%. And no, really, really wasn't. And I guess we can move on to the gold shares, because that is where all the action was today.
Okay, we'll come to that in a second, because the gold price has, I think it's doing it this time. I think this is the real thing, but we'll come to it. Let's start with the currencies, though. Dollar rand, 17.33. It'll be a very nervous currency market ahead of the emergency budget on Wednesday, delivered by Tito Mboweni. Starts at 2 o'clock, I think it is. That's the scheduled time. British pound against the rand is 21.57. The euro rand is 19.51. And the euro dollar, dollar's under huge pressure here, hence the gold price move. The euro dollar is 1.1260. Dollar has fallen by 0.7%, and that is a big move. Let's have a look. I'll leave the gold till last, best till last. Dow Jones is flat. S&P is, no, these numbers are wrong. Let me do that. Tell me the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ, because my screen is a bit wonky.
Okay, well, it's a very choppy session. So if it's a 15-minute delay, it's probably moved 5 times since then. But currently, S&P is up 0.88% after being red about 10 minutes ago,
yes.
27 points up. Dow Jones is flat. And, of course, same old story, NASDAQ up 0.5%, sort of grinding higher, 9,983, just under 10,000.
Okay, FTSE down 0.75%, DAX is 0.8% weaker, CAC40 in Paris down 0.7%, and so it goes on. Europeans not doing very well at all. Here's the good one. The gold price, $1,758 an ounce, which is at $15 or nearly 1%, and that is a new recent high. When I say recent, probably last seven, 8 weeks.
Something 2012,
like correct. Here we go. 827 is the platinum price, up 1.5% or $12 an ounce. And where's palladium, please, Nick?
A bit of a lag, unchanged at the moment, down $2, 1910.
And give me oil, if you would.
So we have oil, the West Texas up 0.5% at 30, well, it's got exactly $40 a barrel, 40.00. And North Sea Brent is trading up 0.83% at $42.55 to barrel.
I think we should start having a look at the South African 10-year bond ahead of the emergency budget, because there's obviously going to be a little bit of positioning ahead of that. And if I could just find it, what have you got there?
I'll bring it up for you now.
Stick it up there.
Yeah, obviously, funny enough, a lot of the commentary last week, apparently the spreads were very right on the sort of the rand dollars and all the different, the fras, as they call them, in the process, as people are waiting for Mr. Mboweni's budget speech on Wednesday. The 10-year benchmark was 6 basis points sort of up on the days. So that yield 9.28 closing.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting thing to watch. Let's go to the shares that moved on this quiet day on the JSE Securities Exchange. I've got DRD Gold, and this is where your gold share theme comes in. DRD Gold up nearly 6%. Redefine, the property company, up 4.8%. Aspen doing nicely. It was down on the opening. Now it's up 4.2%. Anglo Gold Ashanti up 3.8%. Sibanye-Stillwater up 3.75%. So the gold miners populating that. Telkom on the downside, 7.25%. Textainer down nearly 7%. Glencore, 6.5% weaker. RMBH down 5.9%. And Royal Bafokeng Platinum, strangely, down 5.4%. Go with some life in those gold shares. What do you think? Is this the real thing? I mean, you famously said on a chat we had with David Shapiro that you'd been to see a client, or a client had come to see you, a new client, and you said you have to have some gold in your portfolio, and you've probably done very well for the lucky fella.
Yeah, it's just, I think in this particular environment where it's difficult to find almost sort of a hedge in place, just gold just seems to offer that ability to just in this sort of environment to just protect the sort of downside a little bit. And I think this ties in with the theme of a weakening dollar. You know, I think really everyone's been calling this dollar weaker for years, and it's never quite got there. It's always been the reserve currency of choice, and it always seems to sort of, you get that sort of flight to the dollar when things get nervous. But I think the stories we're seeing out of the U.S. with geopolitical, with the increase in the coronavirus cases and a few of other things, the dollar all of a sudden is sort of, I think, starting to wane quite a bit. And you've seen the last 2-3 weeks of grinding lower, hence the big pop we're getting in these commodities. And I think it's going to be some life in these commodities. I really do.
Good. Let's hope so, because we could use it in this country anyway. What were the closing indices, please, on this first day of a trading week that promises? It's promising a lot, actually. It's a quiet start, but I've got a feeling that this week could be quite a showstopper.
Yeah, so tomorrow, I don't know if it'll be before when we speak in the morning or not, but the PMI numbers are very important tomorrow. Those are coming out of the Eurozone, so keep your eye on that one. But on these closing indices, we have exactly flat. JSE All Share, it's been a while since I saw this, 0.01% up on the day, 5.7 points, 54,230. The top 40, just 65 points higher, 0.13%, 49,877 off the highs we were earlier, and different individual indices. We've got the technology shares 2.6% firmer, healthcare up 1%, led by the likes of Aspen, basic materials 0.25% higher, telecommunications were also 0.25%, and on the downside, financials were 2.3% to the red, consumer cyclicals 2.37%, and energy shares also having a tough day on 6%. Value traded, I think this sums it up the lowest in a while. We've got 18 billion value traded today.
Okay, my quote of the day is slow the testing down, please. That's what President Donald Trump told his tiny Tulsa audience of 6,200 people when he said there was a million applications for tickets, but only 6,200 people turned up. Slow the testing down, please. And the reason that, apart from the obvious, that it is just the most ridiculous and irresponsible statement probably ever to come out of the mouth of a recent US president. It was 2 days after the world saw the highest increase in coronavirus cases in one day since it all started. 180,000 new people got it, and Trump says, slow the testing down, please. Good luck, America. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick Kunzer is from Sanlam Private Wealth. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity. strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.